Well, it's good to see you this evening. Hope you've had a good day. Hope it's been a peaceful day. Someone asked me if I was enjoying myself. I'm just having a ball. Can you have a ball worshiping the Lord? I hope so. I'm just enjoying being with you good folks. It's always a joy to be here with this congregation. Thank you for coming if you're among our visitors. Thank you for being here and helping this congregation, encouraging me as well. And good to see all the members here tonight as well. Stephen Ambrose was a very noted historian, passed away several years ago. He was the historian of record for President Eisenhower. President Eisenhower opened up all of his papers to him, and Ambrose interviewed him. When he finished writing about Eisenhower, he did not want to write about Nixon. Ambrose was a left-leaning politician of his, that was his flavor, and he'd had no respect or regard for Nixon. But his publisher pushed him and said, "No, you're going to write." And he wrote a trilogy on Nixon, which is really very, very informative and very good. His last book that he wrote was entitled Comrades. And in that book, he took notable men and noticed the man that was a comrade with that man. For example, President Eisenhower had his brother Milton. Milton was advisor not only to President Eisenhower, but several other people of importance throughout the world. Now, many people knew that Milton Eisenhower was back of Dwight Eisenhower. And there were other men like that throughout the book. But there was one man that was alone. There was one man that stood alone in the book, had no comrade. A very dark figure. And it was President Richard Nixon. He had no one with whom he could bind himself. Switching to a Bible narrative then. When we come and we open the book of God, especially the book of Exodus, we're introduced to a family with three children. You have Amram and Jochebed, who have Aaron, Miriam, and Moses as their children. As time passes by, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron begin to form a tight bond together. In fact, just as a sidebar, have you ever stopped to think about the profound effect that Amram and Jochebed had on the history of the nation of Israel? And even on our history as well, with the service of those three children. When they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam wrote the song that is recorded in Exodus chapter 15. A song that is quite filled with praise about the mighty, awesome power of God, how God delivered them. But then, something happened. Miriam and Aaron decided to revolt against Moses because they said, "Moses, you're just taking too much on yourself." It was a tight bond that held them together until that breach. And that bond was broken. Miriam paid dearly for that. In the New Testament, at the end of Colossians chapter 4, Paul will talk about a man named Demas, who he praises as his fellow worker, co-laborer. However, when Paul writes his very last letter, there's something that's happened. In Colossians chapter 4, these were partners. They were bound close together in their relationship to the Lord. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the foreboding words, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I wrestled with that for years, trying to figure out just exactly what that meant. And then I came to the conclusion, what it meant was, he loved this present world. And I think that was the failing. There's a man that came to Jesus and said, which is the great commandment? Out of all these that are numbered, which is the greatest commandment? The man asked an exclusive question. Which one can I exclude from all others? And Jesus gave an inclusive answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. The reason that is inclusive is because once we can get our minds around the power of what it is to love the Lord, then we have that tight bond with Him that cannot be broken. And His commands are not grievous. We obey Him not simply because of the commands, but we obey Him because we love Him. And that gets to the core of who we are as children of God. The thing that makes us tight together, the thing that forms the bond together that we share with one another so that none is isolated, grows out of the power and the strength of our love for the Lord. We are joined together in the Lord and we are bound in love. In 1 John chapter 4, in 1 John chapter 4, you begin to see this and the power of this when we begin in verse 12. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loves us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The power that we see in verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected and there's no fear in love. Fear is the initial response to sin. You remember when Adam and Eve committed that sin in the garden? And now God is walking in the cool of the garden and he calls for Adam and Eve and they're hiding. And he says, what have you done? And then the blame game begins. And they ask, Jesus, God asked, why are you hiding? Because we were afraid. Why were you afraid? You weren't hiding yesterday. Why are you afraid? Fear is a response to sin. Fear helps that self-accusing conscience realize we have crossed the line with God. But he says, love, perfected, casts out fear. Love takes that fear and pulls it out by its root. If fear is the lack of confidence because of sin, love gives us that confidence because we have that relationship with God. Fear and punishment and sin are one side. Love and confidence and abiding in God are the other side. And he says, here's how we can know that. We can know we have the love of God by what? By whether or not we love our brother. The acid test is real simple. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's walking in darkness. He's not walking in the light. The greatest demonstration of that love that we have for God is the power that we have to choose to forgive someone who has offended. But what enables us to do that? It's that tight bond of love that we have with God, and that tight bond of love that we share with one another. Sin has caused a breach, but now love and forgiveness have healed that breach. They've reconciled that breach. And now with that love binding together, we now can be tightly tied together with the Lord. Why? Because of this love. Love of God is our confidence. Fear is our destruction. He says, we are bound in love to God. When we have the love that God has for us, we have that for one another. We know God loves us and God is in us. Notice again the strength of what he says. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. What makes us who we are? It is our love for God. The power of what I'm trying to convey to you is this. In our lives, in the lives of our children, in the lives of our grandchildren, it's not just simply about opening some doors and coming in a building. The strength of what makes us who we are is our bond with God. And if we don't have that bond with God, then we are nothing and we have nothing. And we have that bond with God because of his love for us and our love for him and love for one another. That then makes us join to the Lord. We are bound in love, but that makes us join to the Lord together. If I have a child who has decided they're going to leave the Lord, it's not just simply leaving the Lord. They've left me because why? Because my identity is with the Lord. And there's a kind of death that goes with that. Because the thing that bound us together has been broken. We have shared something in common. And now that which we shared in common is no longer common. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is going to make a play on something that is very understandable, to make a point about idolatry and to make a point about what we have as being joined to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14, God hath raised up both the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. The children of Israel throughout Exodus said, yes, Lord, we will obey you, we will obey you, we will obey you. All you ask of us, we will obey. Moses is gone 40 days. And they turn to make a golden calf. They have vowed themselves to God. But now then they give that which was God's to a golden calf, an idol. And here Paul takes an analogy between a husband and a wife. A vow is made to keep yourself to that one to whom you have pledged, and that one only as long as you both shall live. There are some things that belong only to that mate. And that bond that you have makes you one together. But now one decides to take that which belongs exclusively to their mate and share that with another. That bond that was there, that which joined them together in the Lord, has now been shared with someone that is illicit. Someone that doesn't belong to there. It doesn't belong here. You vowed this, but now you're sharing this. He says, you have become, look, one with a harlot, joined with a harlot. Instead of being joined to the Lord, now you pledge to be joined to the Lord. But now we give ourselves to idols and we take that which belongs to the Lord and we share it with something else. Something else has taken the place of God. We've lost our connection with God. We're no longer joined with Him. We've taken that which belonged to God and shared with another and become joined with that, with what you share. And we understand that in a marriage relationship. Paul is trying to get us to see. We are joined to the Lord, and it is a serious, strong commitment, but it makes us who we are. We are nobody without being joined to the Lord. We're not somebody because we have our name on a roll where we walk in a building with a particular name on it. We are who we are because we're joined to the Lord. Everything else grows out of that. And if we miss that connection of being bound to the Lord in love and joined to Him, we miss who we are. We get so busy in life. We take things for granted. We take this relationship we call being a Christian, being a child of God, for granted. There are so many things that wedge themselves in between us and God. But we've got to wake up. We've got to sharpen. We've got to sharpen our senses with regard to this relationship with God that is precious. It is everything. And apart from that relationship, we have nothing. Husbands and wives, so busy in life, they lose the connection that enables them to be companions. And they lose that connection, and one gives themselves to another. Now joined, no longer here, but joined to another. Why? Because we lost that connection to the Lord. My grandmother, my mother's mother, passed away several years ago. But when Dad was living in Oklahoma City for 3 years, before he moved back to Benchley, where he's at now, just outside of Bryan College Station, they moved my grandmother from Alpharetta, Texas, just south of Fort Worth, up to Oklahoma City to live with Mom and Dad. My grandmother was a dyed-in-the-wool member of a denomination, and she wasn't going to change, even consider changing. And after they moved her back to Alpharetta, because some things happened that necessitated that, I picked her up for a doctor's appointment one day. And she told me, said, "There's something wrong with your dad." She said, "All he does is sit in his office and read his Bible all day, and all he thinks about is his Bible and the church." I thought, "No, ma'am, you just about identified who Dad is. If one of his children go a different direction and join themselves to the world, that connection that makes him who he is lost with that child. Our connection with our children is not our connection simply because of DNA. Our connection with our mate is not simply our connection because of a vow. Our connection that we have with our children and with our mate is our connection because of what? Because we're joined as one together in Christ. When you lose a child like that, there's a kind of death that takes place. There's a grieving that takes place. And you do everything you can to reach to pull that child back. And it may sound strange to say, but not until that moment when that bond was lost did you realize how much you loved that child. "I didn't know I loved you this much, son. I love you, but I didn't know I loved you this much. I didn't know I loved God that much." That may sound strange. But when that connection to God is lost or challenged, our senses are increased, and the value of who we are in God and the value God holds to us increases as well. It's powerful for us. And without that, we're nobody.
It makes us who we are. It's not simply a name on a lapel. It identifies who we are. We are one with the Lord, and without the Lord, we're nobody. And so there's something that has been separated. Like the body, apart from the spirit, is death. So that spirit in that person apart from God is death. There's no longer life. We lost our bond with God. We're no longer joined with Him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we see a third thing. We're bound in love, bound by love, joined in the Lord. And now in verse 1, beginning of chapter 5, we are walk in love. How do we have this love for God that God has for us? So he says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But that's a word of contrast. And now he begins to list a number of things that are not part of a self-sacrificing love. They're part of a selfishness. They're not part of being bound by God. They're not part of walking in the Lord. They're not part of walking by love. People who walk by love with the Lord don't commit the things that follow. When he talks about fornication, covetousness, filthiness from your mouth, and so on and so forth, being unclean, those things aren't part of someone who's walking in love with God. He said, walk in love with Christ as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Here's this self-sacrificing love. This kind of love is proven by action and measured by sacrifice. We offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. God, I love you. We prove it by action and measure it by sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice? I remember hearing years ago, this was, I'll tell you how far along it was. In 1983, Dan came to Del Rio, Texas, and held a meeting. And he stayed with us. And man, it was a barn burner of a meeting. I mean, he lit it up that week. He was on his game that week. And Dan always had a sermon on discipleship. If any man chooses to be a disciple of Christ, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he broke those points down in the constituent points. And I remember Dan making this point. Once we decide to be a disciple, all other decisions are made. And here's my correlation to that. Once we choose to walk in love with God, all other decisions are made. It affects how we walk. It affects how we talk. It affects everything about us. I don't have to ask, do I dress this way? Do I talk this way? Do I go there? Why? Because that decision is made. I am going to walk in love with God. And that runs through every part of my being. Everything is filtered through that. Why? Because I don't want to lose that connection with Him. When I decide to be bound in love by Him, joined to the Lord, I have decided to be an imitator of the Lord and walk in love as Christ has loved us. I give myself as a sacrifice to God. The cost is not too high. And there's nothing that's a part of my life that is not an outgrowth, a byproduct of that walking in love with God. That young man in Luke 15 went to his father and said, I'm out of here. Give me what's mine. Well, there was nothing his to begin with. But the father gave him, and that young man went off. At that moment, he had more love for himself than he had for his father. Had no regard for what his father gave him. Wasted it. And useless living. Joined himself with someone besides his father until he ran out of the resources, and then the thing that joined him with his false compatriots is no longer there. Now he's all alone. And when he finds himself alone, where does he find himself? He doesn't find himself with the Lord, does he? He finds himself all along away from his father. He's nobody. He is cheek to jowl with a hog, eating what pigs eat. And then he comes to himself and realizes everything that he had in connection with his father, when he was joined to his father. He said, my servants have it better than this. My father's servants have it better than this. I'm going to go to my father and say, I have sinned against you. Has that father forgotten him? No. That boy's lost his connection to his father, but that father sees that boy in that pig pen and sees him pick himself up and coming to the father. And the father doesn't sit in his throne chair and say, well, when you get here, you got to bow before me, big boy. He runs the meeting. And he falls on him. And he kisses him and said, son, you'll never know how much I love you. And you'll never know how much I've been praying for you. You'll never know, son, you'll never know the joy I'm filled with at this moment that you have come home. A boy that lost his love but found it. But then there was a boy that was home who his father thought he had love but had none. Because when he sees what the father's doing to that young man, his brother, he's not filled with the same joy his father is. He's moved with anger because he sees his father giving him partiality. Well, I've been with you all along and you've given me nothing, but yet he's been with the father all along and the father's given him everything and he doesn't realize it. He's been with the father and lost his connection while being with him. Which one of those do we want to be? It may be hard to be in the pig pen, but do we want to be reunited with our God, connected to Him, to be who we are? Or are we someone that's wandered away? In Romans chapter 6, the last passage that we'll look at helps us understand whether we are in this relationship with God we're talking about, whether we're bound to the Lord in this way or not. Look beginning at verse 15 of Romans chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. And that's as strong a statement as you can make. Paul will say, that is an absolute absurdity. That's the strength of that. Here's the point now. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became a slave to righteousness. Listen, we're going to be slaves. We're going to serve somebody. Are we going to serve someone that will give it all for us? Are we going to serve someone that will use us for his own good? How can we tell if we are bound to the Lord like we're talking about? Who are we serving? Is the Lord our master? Are we serving him? Are we using ourselves as instruments of righteousness serving the Lord? Are we using ourselves as instruments of death serving Satan? It's really easy to see. We can see whether we have this bond with the Lord I'm talking about by who we serve. Are we serving the Lord? And when we have that relationship with the Lord, we serve Him. Not because there's a command that says to do that, and if you don't, you sin. We've moved past that. But it's because of our love for Him, and we realize that we are bound to Him, and we realize how much we need Him. Have you come to that place in your life, that point in life in which you said, Lord, I didn't know I loved you this much. I didn't know I needed you this much. Where there was a member of your family that you almost lost, or you have lost, you said, I didn't know I loved you that much. I didn't know I needed you that much. The thing that binds a nuclear family together as one is our relationship with the Lord. And the thing that binds this family together as one is our relationship with the Lord. I remember something else Dan said years ago. He said, the older I get, the more I realize I need my children. And the older I get, the more I realize I need my children. But the older I get, the more I realize I need my children with the Lord. Because that's who I am. To separate ourselves from the Lord is a death. There's a grieving. There's a loss. But life with the Lord is rich. And life with the Lord has purpose. And life with the Lord makes us who we are. We're not simply members of a local church of Christ. We are members of a local church of Christ because we are bound to the Lord. We're His child. That means everything. And without that, we are and we have nothing. We can't take that for granted. We have to instill that in our children, our grandchildren, in those we love, because that's who we are. Maybe there's something this evening we can help you do to be right with God. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe just in your heart, you need to go to your closet and renew that bond with the Lord and make that bond with Him even tighter because you realize the deep value of it. Whatever we can do to help, you come while we stand and while we sing.